Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed, "I found nirvana! I win!" They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Caroline Fenton, Derek Mason, we're out here at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. Willie Donick in the City of Angels ahead of the Predators matchup against the Kings. The Alabama Crimson Tide are leading Mississippi State 41-21 at the half. Tennessee Volunteers will get in action with Missouri after this game concludes. So we'll continue to keep you updated with all of the SEC tournament updates there. But before we get into that, Willie Donick, we had the Caroline Fenton versus Willie Donick tournament last night. My LSU Tigers fall to the Vanderbilt Commodores. But now I am cheering very, very loud for the Doors against Kentucky tonight. So, Willie, where it stands right now, Vandy currently on the bubble. What does Vandy need to do to get into the tournament?
It's a good question. I don't know that there's a clear answer. I'm going to look at more percentages. I would say if they lose tonight and they are competitive in the game, in other words, they don't just get run out of the building, and their net doesn't change a whole lot, I believe they still have a case to get in, but I would put the chances at about 25 to, you know, maybe a quarter, 25% to 33% to get in. And it would depend on this. How heavily weighted is the net ranking? If you're going to heavily weigh the net, Vanderbilt has the lowest net of any of the bubble teams, and in some cases a pretty wide margin. If you're looking at the whole profile, it's a very different thing. And I would put Vanderbilt's resume above a lot of the teams that are going to be in those last few spots for the last four. I think if Vanderbilt were to make it in a scenario where they lose tonight, it would be one of the last four in, if not the last two in, for sure. So you would also need some luck not having any bid thieves. So that's the answer. If they beat Kentucky, I think your chances go way up to 80 or 90% to get in. But again, it comes back to the net. Can you overlook the biggest flaw on Vanderbilt's resume? Everything else about their resume says NCAA tournament team, except for the net, which is the efficiency rating that is given out. That's a relatively new thing that is always put up on the screen. When you see bracketology, they put that net rating up there. But my question has always been, is that the true indicator of a tournament team?
Do you think, Willie, a lot of it now has to do with Liam Robbins being gone for the season? Do you think that would affect them? Because I look at it, anything short of winning the SEC championship, which they're capable of doing, the way that Stackhouse has this team playing, I mean, they can get on the road. We've seen it during the season, during a lot of part of the season. This team went on the road, and they beat some good teams. But short of winning the SEC championship without Liam Robbins, do you think they, even if they win this round versus Kentucky, do you think they make it?
I think their chances are very good if they make it, based on what's happening around the bubble. But you ask a very important question. This is another one. The committee is made up of a group of, 10 or 12 people. They're human. So I think they are going to ask the question, is this a tournament team without Liam Robbins? Now, without Liam Robbins, since he got hurt, they beat Kentucky at Kentucky. They beat Mississippi State at home, and now they've beaten LSU. They played a number of games also earlier in the year without Robbins and did okay. They certainly, Liam Robbins, you can't ignore, is a huge difference maker. My philosophy, and look, this is just one man's opinion. To me, the question of injuries going into the tournament, you should not penalize a team that deserves to be in the tournament because somebody got hurt. If you want to adjust that team's seed of a deserving team that's in, then I agree 100%. You've got to adjust the seed if a player is not going to be available. But injuries are happening as we speak all around the country. So it's hard to gauge, you know, what is a team with this guy, without this guy. But that question is going to get asked, I think, with the committee. But all I can say is they've done remarkably well since Robbins got hurt. They won at Kentucky essentially without him. He got hurt 3 minutes into the game. He had 2 points, and they still won at Rupp. And now this is a tough ask to try to beat them again. But Vanderbilt's an 8.5-point underdog in this. But I think how they play tonight will be important. Obviously, if they win, it goes a long way. But my opinion is if they win, I would say the odds of them getting in are really, really good.
And, of course, the odds would only increase if Vanderbilt got a little bit of help from some other teams that are also on the bubble and got a little bit of help from some of these conference tournaments. So who are you looking at? What teams that may be bubble teams that need to either lose tonight or could help Vanderbilt out? What are the number one teams that we're looking at around the country?
Well, one of them is Mississippi State, right? Right, yeah. Where you are. And
it's not looking good for Mississippi State at the moment, down 20 points and a half.
They're playing an extremely powerful team in Alabama. I see a lot of bracketologists that have Mississippi State in. I honestly, let's look at the resumes. All right, Mississippi State, the net is a big difference. Vanderbilt 82, Mississippi State 46. But let's look at who beat who, right? Who did you play? Where did you play them? Who did you beat? Vanderbilt has more quad one, quad two wins. They have a head-to-head win over Mississippi State. Their KPI ranking is way better than Mississippi State. Their strength of schedule, way better than Mississippi State. Best wins for Mississippi State. They beat Marquette on a neutral court. They beat TCU, a very good non-conference win. They beat Missouri at home, and they have one excellent, they beat Texas A&M at home. That's a good home win. And they won at Arkansas. And to me, it's a very important thing to have on your resume. Did you beat a team that's going to the tournament on the road or on a neutral court? To me, that is the trait of an NCAA tournament team. Do you have at least a win or two like that? And Mississippi State does have that. But Vanderbilt, I think, has more good wins. They beat Pittsburgh. They beat Arkansas. They beat Tennessee. They won at Florida when Florida had their best player in Castleton. I think that's a good road win. They won at Kentucky without Robbins. They beat Auburn. And, of course, they beat Mississippi State. So they have 9 quad one or quad two wins. Mississippi State only has 7. Other than the net, Vanderbilt has a better resume than Mississippi State. So let's just say Mississippi State loses this game against Alabama and Vanderbilt loses tonight. I think that's a fair question to ask. Who's got the better resume? And I think you make a strong case that Vanderbilt has a better resume than Mississippi State. Now, those aren't the only two teams that are going to be compared. There's a bunch of other teams. And those would include USC, who just lost last night to Arizona State. Michigan, who just lost yesterday to Rutgers. Oklahoma State, who got beat pretty badly by Texas yesterday. Clemson, who's playing a very important game today. They just beat NC State yesterday. Providence, who got beat yesterday by UConn. I think Providence has a very ordinary resume. They don't have a win away from the Dunkin' Donut Center, the Dunkin' Center in Providence against a good team. They don't have a quality road win or neutral win. Even though they've been ranked in the top 25 a lot this year, I think they have a very overrated resume. And then there's the Mountain West, which is always weird. It's a different formula because you got those teams that don't play as many quad one teams, and they also still have some really good net rankings, but I think 3 teams are going to get in from that league. So keep an eye on Utah State and Nevada. And, of course, out in the Pac-12, I mentioned USC. Arizona State and Oregon are still alive in that tournament. So keep an eye on those teams. So, again, long story short, to me, about 10 teams for about six spots. And Vanderbilt and Mississippi State are both in that group of 10, in my opinion.
And coming up next, we'll get into who Vanderbilt fans need to root for today and throughout the rest of the conference tournaments so Vanderbilt can get that bid into the NCAA tournament. We'll continue on with Willie Donick's bubble breakdown, his bubble analysis, all of that coming up next. It is Caroline Wheely, D-Mace. And hey, today tune in for SEC Men's Tournament updates on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Toyota. Buy at Toyota.com. Ready, set, go get your Toyota today. Toyota, let's go places.
I'm just curious about Ezra. I've seen him play three times now. I'm not sure there's anybody in the country who can stay in front of him. I wonder how disruptive he is and what kind of issues he creates.
No, I mean, I think it starts on the defensive end. He really initiates our defense from, you know, the pressure that he puts on the ball, his ability to get through screens and get under screens, and it helps our bigs out tremendously. But, you know, he's just a great kid. He's just a great, great person that, I mean, I'm glad that, you know, he's one of the leaders of our team. And like I said, how he talks about Paul Lewis and how, you know, he's helped Paul Lewis tremendously this year. I mean, having to go up against that every day, that type of speed and that type of tenacity on the defensive end has really improved his game and give him the confidence to come out and get 11 points in his first SEC game. So I think you can attribute a lot of that to not just to Edge, but to all of our older guys. They've been around. They understand what it's about to be a part of this program, be a part of this system, and they're really the gatekeepers of the program.
There you go. That was Vanderbilt head basketball coach Jerry Stackhouse on Ezra Manyone last night. And man, oh man, did he just tear my LSU Tigers apart last night. Vanderbilt gets a win against LSU last night, a 77-68 win. Now another big test tonight, taking on Kentucky in the SEC tournament. Alabama leads Mississippi State 47-23 with 16:48 left in the second half. Not looking so hot for Mississippi State. Willie, how important is Ezra Manyone going to be against Kentucky tonight?
Very important. Without Robbins, the attack for Vanderbilt, and I admire the heck out of what Jerry Stackhouse has done. I was really glad that he was recognized as the co-coach of the year in the SEC, because if you watch them play, he does a great job of getting the ball to his best players in a position to where they can do something. He's really good at freeing up Ezra Manyone, who's a great slasher to the basket. He's an outstanding penetrator. He makes good decisions, but he can really finish amongst the traffic when he gets going. So he's huge. He had a very good game against Kentucky at Rupp, just penetrating, making plays. And then, of course, the two other guys that have got to do it. And, you know, when they're on, they're huge difference makers, Tyron Lawrence and Jordan Wright. With Robbins out, those two guys are heavily, heavily counted on. So really, it's those three that lead the way. But the biggest matchup to watch tonight, guys, will be Oscar Tshiebwe.
Uh-huh.
And without Robbins to go head up on Tshiebwe, Tshiebwe is a handful. And in the last game, Quint Melora Brown did a really good job of just making it hard for Tshiebwe, making it tough on him. Tshiebwe still, he's going to get every rebound, right? He gets tons of offensive rebounds, stick backs. But you have to try to make him beat you from the outside and try to limit some of those second chance opportunities. Vanderbilt also got a big man back last night, a young kid named Lee Dort, who is a pretty talented freshman. If he can give them some good minutes, because fouls are a big issue with Tshiebwe too. He gets fouled a ton, and he goes to the free throw line. So Melora Brown's got to stay out of foul trouble, but he's likely going to get some fouls. So you're going to need Dort. And in the first meeting, or I shouldn't say the first meeting, it's really the second meeting, but the recent meeting at Rupp, Malik Dia, a kid from Ensworth High School, had to play big minutes off the bench and just try to eat up space, get some rebounds, make Tshiebwe work. So those three guys, Dort and Dia, two freshmen, and then the 27-year senior, Quint Melora Brown. I think he's got to be 37 years old now, and he's coming back next year. He's one of those guys that has taken advantage of all the rules to keep eligibility. But he's a serviceable big man that's a smart player that plays extremely hard you know, I think how he does against Tshiebwe is going to tell a lot of the story.
I think a lot of it is you have to put pressure on the Kentucky guards, and you have to – listen, you're not going to single-handedly shut down Oscar, but I think if you make him work on both ends of the court, it slows him down just a tad bit because they love getting the ball to him in the middle of the court on that, you know, on inside of the paint because of even at his height at, what, about 6'8", 6'9", he plays as if he's 7 foot. So they got to make it hard. Vandy got to make it hard for both on the offensive side of the ball as well as the defensive side of the court with Oscar.
Yeah, and they – and in fairness, I'm not taking anything away from Vanderbilt's win. It was a great win at mm-hmm. Kentucky. But they did catch Kentucky on a poor shooting night. And I think Kentucky fans listening would agree that that was not the best. And Vanderbilt's defense had something to do with it. They contested shots, and they did well there. But Kentucky was 3-for-19 in their home gym from three that night. And so I don't know that you can bank on that tonight. So I think Vanderbilt's going to have to play even better to get a win tonight against Kentucky in what we know is going to be a very heavily populated Kentucky crowd. There's no doubt about it. So, again, if they can beat Kentucky in this environment for a second time in the last couple weeks without Robbins, to me that's an NCAA tournament team. There's no doubt in my mind. The bigger question would be if they fall short, then do they get a look? Does the committee look past the net ranking and look at the rest of their resume? Because if they do, I think they have an NCAA tournament resume, depending on what happens to the other bubble teams. And, for example, let's look at Middle Tennessee right now. They're playing the number one seed in the Conference USA tournament, Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic's 29-3. Their ratings are really good. Most people think that if they were to lose, they would still get an at-large bid. So that would be the old bid thief, right? That would take somebody off of the bubble that otherwise might get in. So Middle is down 54-51 with just under 7 minutes to go. Middle has had a really good season. That coach, Nick McDermott, has done a very good job with that program. So keep an eye on that score going down the stretch.
So Vandy fans are going to be cheering for an FAU win here.
Yes. You need to cheer for them. You need to cheer for Virginia over Clemson. I would also look a little bit later on tonight at the Pac-12 games. You want UCLA to take care of Oregon. UCLA has a key guy hurt, right? That's another thing. So people are talking about, will their seed be affected if they, you know, should they be a number one seed if this guy's hurt? Zakai Ziegler, right? That's a huge player for Tennessee. He's out. How do you look at Tennessee's seed without him going forward? These are all complicated questions for sure. The other team in the Pac-12 to watch is Arizona State. They're playing Arizona. Huge rivalry game. Arizona State beat Arizona at a buzzer on a miraculous buzzer beater.
Crazy
at home
last
a couple weeks
beater.
Ago. Crazy. Crazy. Can they do it again? Bobby Hurley's team, you know, if they win that game, I think that probably puts Arizona State in.
So you can tune in for SEC Men's Tournament updates on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Toyota. BuyAToyota.com. Ready, set, go get your Toyota today. Toyota, let's go places. Around Commodore Spaces, Willie, we've heard so much about the net. Jerry Stackhouse went on Chasen and Michelle and said, I think the net stinks. And it really is, as you broke down, kind of the barrier for right now, the biggest indicator that Vanderbilt may not make the NCAA tournament is the net. Of your interpretation, you're doing your own breakdown of the bubble, you know, you're going through all of your own numbers. Does the net indicate really what the NCAA tournament wants it to indicate? Or do you think you agree with Jerry Stackhouse, you know, separate from Vanderbilt, does it really stink?
Net stinks.
He does think the net stinks.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's got to be driving him crazy because, and I see a lot of Vanderbilt fans on Twitter noting some of the strange things that happen with the net that are hard to predict. For example, Clemson beat NC State last night in a lopsided game. Two very even teams with very similar resumes, both on the bubble. Clemson probably needed the win more than NC State. Clemson won big. Their net moved up 10 spots because of the blowout. So The net indicates your efficiency. And so when you hammer a team, when you dominate a team, that reflects in the net. And so it really, it's a philosophical question, you guys. And I'm curious what you think. Mm-hmm. You know, should it matter how much you win by or how efficient you are, or should it just be who you beat? You know, do you get it done or do you not get it done in the big games? To me, I don't think you should discard it, but I don't think it should be the heavily weighted factor that a lot of people seem to present it as.
I think it, you know, hopefully we can get away from, well, how much did you beat that team by? Because what you're going to run into, which we probably already ran into, like teams leaving their starters in the game.
That's happening. That's absolutely happening.
Score. Exactly. And it's like now you put a team or a coach in a position where one of his players may get hurt. Let me see your schedule. What does your schedule look like? Who were your wins? What were your quad one winners? What were your quad two wins? I think what hurt Vanderbilt is some of the losses that they've had, more than the wins.
No doubt.
You know?
No doubt. They lost,
lose to an LSU team. Yeah, Graham, you can't lose to an LSU team who was – they couldn't buy a win at one point. And then you go to their place, albeit they had a night that they haven't had in a very long time shooting the basketball. But you are a team in Vanderbilt that was playing hot. You were on a heater. And then you go to LSU – and you lose in that fashion. I think more than anything, those losses, that's what it should be based upon who you beat and who you didn't beat, not how many points that I beat them by.
Right, and that's the other flaw, obviously, in Vanderbilt's resume, the loss to Grambling, which is a quad four loss. The LSU one, if the committee watched that game, LSU played out of their mind in that game. They shot lights out. That K.J. Williams had, I think, 35 points every time.
K.J. Williams is a dude.
K.J. Williams, yep. Yeah. He was amazing. And there are some other teams on the bubble that have losses that bad. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Grambling is a 20-win team. It's, in their league, they're really good. But you still can't lose to Grambling if you're Vanderbilt. That is a loss that will penalize you. But there's other teams on the bubble that lost. For example, USC lost to Florida Gulf Coast. Mm-hmm. Arizona State lost to Texas Southern. Now, these are all teams in the 300s. So it's not as if Vanderbilt's the only team to slip up there. It's really, you know, what are the other things, like the really difficult schedule that they play. Mm-hmm. Like, your league record doesn't matter, but the fact that they played the toughest mix of teams. They played Alabama twice, Tennessee twice, Kentucky twice. This will be the third time that they played Kentucky. Their strength of schedule is much, much tougher than almost every other bubble team that's out there. Auburn's the only one that's comparable, and I think Auburn is solidly in, even after their loss yesterday to Arkansas.
My take on the net is kind of the same way that I approach analytics in any sport. I think that they are important, especially when you're trying to choose the 64 best teams in America, college basketball teams in America, when you play in divisions that might be more, or conferences or divisions that might be more difficult than others, looking at Power Five versus Group of Five, when you have such a massive collection of teams with a massive sample size of a schedule. Sometimes those minute little numbers really do help you break down which is the better team whenever you're looking at such a huge sample size. But my thing with the net, same thing with my idea with analytics in football, don't let the itty-bitty numbers and the breakdown and the analytics blind you from what your eyes can already see. I think we do that like with the College Football Playoff Committee a lot of, oh, well, this team beat this team when they were ranked this and it was by this many points and the wind was blowing at 64 miles. Like, when we get into all of these nitty-gritty little details, and it's like, don't let the numbers and the analytics blind you from what you can already see in front of your face of, they beat this team and this team is just good. They lost to this team, but that team was really good, or that team played out of their minds. I think that there is a time and a place for the breakdowns and the analytics and the metrics that the net may use, but don't let it overshadow what your eyes are showing you and what your basketball brain knows deep down inside.
Vanderbilt got penalized heavily for losing 101-44 at Alabama. And so that's the question, is how much should that hurt them? Alabama, we know, is a powerful team, but also it's, you know, he benched Tyron Lawrence in that game. Now, that's their choice, right? But that's a coach trying to be a coach. Jordan Wright conked heads with Liam Robbins early in the game. Jordan Wright got a concussion, left the game, didn't return. Liam Robbins left the game, came back a lot later, and it was all she wrote. It was just a nightmare of a game all the way around, but they got blown out. So how much should that cost them? It cost them double-digit spots in the net at that time. And like I said, the other example last night, Clemson blows out NC State and jumps 10 spots. Is Clemson all of a sudden that much better because they blew out one team one night? I don't think so. Like I just hope the committee puts the net in context. I'm not saying it shouldn't count for anything, but I hope that it is balanced with your strength of schedule, your quality wins, and the old eye test. You know, who'd you beat? Where'd you beat them? Do you look like an NCAA team? And I think Vanderbilt absolutely looks like an NCAA team right now and has for about a month and a half. They're playing way better than a lot of these teams that are sort of stumbling down the stretch.
I think Jerry Stackhouse has done a wonderful job this second half of the season, and that's why he was named co-coach of the year.
And I want to get into Jerry Stackhouse exactly. Coming up next. What this game tonight means for Jerry Stackhouse, what the rest of the tournament means for Jerry Stackhouse, and what an opportunity at the NCAA tournament could mean for Jerry Stackhouse. And, of course, we've got a bunch of questions for our bubble expert, Willie Dunnick, so we'll get into your phones as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. And, hey, Nashville's best deal this week is from Seafood Sensation. Often imitated but not duplicated is Nashville's original seafood restaurant. While supplies last, grab half off a $25 gift card to the Seafood Sensation located at 2209 Murfreesboro Pike in Antioch and enjoy some of your favorite seafood dishes. They've got a crab legs platter, they've got grilled salmon, and so much more at thegamenashville.com/deals. 1025-1063 The Game.
How do you help them balance, though, that one game at a time mentality, but also that chip on your shoulder mentality that you have to have? I mean, you know this as a guy that played at Carolina, played in the NBA. You kind of have to have that night in and night out. So how do you help them balance that going into game by game?
No, I mean, I just think it's, you know, it's built up from the whole course of our season. And it doesn't just start right now. I mean, we played in tough games. We've been in tournaments. We've played in tough tournaments, in neutral sites before. So, I mean, I think we've done things in our, you know, non-conference schedule to help us prepare for these, you know, situations. We went out to California, played in a tournament. We went and played a neutral site, played NC State, up in Chicago this year. And I just think all those, you know, little things that we did to help us really try to, compartmentalize just to stay in the moment and not worry about, you know, the ups and downs. Again, we've dealt with all type of, you know, noise throughout, you know, this season, you know, battling back from some adversity, you know, from the outside, some, you know, adversity on, you know, within. All those things are part of a college basketball season, a part of any season, the pro basketball season, the high school basketball season. You have to learn how to navigate those things. And I think we got the right guys to do it. They've shown that they can do it, and they're focused and looking forward to the next challenge.
And they're going to have a big challenge tonight, taking on Kentucky. Caroline Willie DeMays. We're live out here at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. And it is popping in here. I see a whole lot of orange, a whole lot of Kentucky fans, a whole lot of disappointed Mississippi State fans, and a whole lot of hype Alabama fans, because Alabama leads Mississippi State 54-35 with 10 minutes left in the second half. Willie, what does this game mean tonight for Jerry Stackhouse? SEC co-coach of the year with Buzz Williams, and I thought it was deserved. I thought that Vanderbilt had a good season. But when you're co-coach of the year in a conference, and Vanderbilt racked up some of the wins that they have this year, on the road at Kentucky, a buzzer beater, huge win against Tennessee, finally got that orange monkey off their back, a win against Auburn, a really solid team, those are good wins. But when you have wins like that, you gotta make the tournament. When you're co-coach of the year in the SEC, you gotta make the tournament. So what does this game tonight and this rest of the stretch mean for Jerry Stackhouse?
Well, I think he's put the program on much more solid footing, even if they fall short and don't make it. I think they've got energy they've got the crowd back. You know, I think that's really significant. That place was really lifeless, let's just be honest, for a couple of years. Even, you know, the last year of Bryce Drew and then what he inherited after they did not win a single game in the league the year before he got there. It was some tough times. It was hard to watch, you know, as a person that played at the program and remembers and knows what that building is like at Memorial Gym when it's full. It's one of the best places to watch a game in the country. There's no doubt about it. And they had lost that. And I think that's one of the most significant things that's happened down the stretch is they caught fire and they had a little fever going. They started to get that crowd back. And that is really encouraging. So the next step for him, regardless of what happens here in this game tonight or the rest of their season this year, is can they seize upon a little bit of that momentum and keep bringing in good players, because he can coach. Coach Stackhouse, he gets a lot out of these guys. They get better while they're there. He just needs a little bit higher level of recruit on average. And if he gets that, I think really good times are ahead. And I've been so impressed with that part of it. And so you're right, Caroline. It would be really disappointing to have this kind of success down the stretch and then fall just short. But somebody's there every year, like Buzz Williams was there last year. Right, for Texas A&M, had a great run late in the season, and they were probably the first team out. That was the only team I missed in my bracket last year. I thought they should have been in, and they got left out. But what has he done? He's come back this year. He's the coach of the year, and Texas A&M had a brilliant season in the league. So they've moved forward quite nicely. Here's the other thing to keep in mind, guys. With the NET, the net, it's not just – if you lose, but how you lose. It does make a difference in the net. We just talked about Clemson won 80-54 last night against a good NC State team and jumped 10 spots. I'm curious, these last 9:48, you said there's some Mississippi State fans walking out of the building. They should be paying attention, because if Mississippi State can end up losing by 10 instead of 20, it might make a little difference in their net. And that's a great philosophical question. Should that be? I don't know if that should matter, whether you lose by 15 or 25. But the net will indicate it. And so also with Vanderbilt tonight.
And that's what's frustrating about the net.
Do they look like an NCAA team, you know, or do they get run out of the building? That will make a difference in how the ratings look.
That's what's frustrating about the net. Like, 15 or 25, you're still getting blown out. Like, that's still a bad loss. And I don't think that you should, you know, really split hairs over games like that. Willie, you said one game to look at if you're a Vanderbilt fan for Vanderbilt's opportunity to sneak their way into the NCAA tournament. MTSU, Florida Atlantic, they're the number one seed in their conference. Florida Atlantic leads 64-62 with 24 seconds left, so we'll make sure to keep our eyes on that.
That is a huge game. For every bubble team, that is a huge, huge game. The bubble teams want Florida Atlantic to win, and at the same time, here we are in, you know, doing a show in Middle Tennessee. That would be an enormous win for that program if they could pull it off. But that would, I think Florida Atlantic has a really good case to be an at-large team. Most people would have them in. So that would have a bubble spot vanish for one of those last four teams in.
Let's go to your phone lines from WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Will from Nashville asked bubble breakdown analyst, expert extraordinaire Willie Donick, Utah State has one quad one win, so make sense of that and their bid to the NCAA tournament, or potential bid, rather.
Yeah, the Mountain West is always strange. It's a different-looking set of numbers, completely different. And that's where a Utah State, which is a hometown hero kind of team, they have not won a significant game on a neutral court or on the road, but almost everybody has them in. Boise State, I think, has a little bit better resume. They beat Texas A&M on a neutral court. And so they've got a little bit more on their resume. So I think Boise State is safely in. We know San Diego State is a lock. So there's two for sure. The question is, are they going to get three or are they going to get four? And Nevada lost last night to San Jose State. They've got more quad one wins, but I look at their resume and I'm kind of, Mip, who'd you beat? Really, I mean, Boise State, San Diego State, Utah State, they beat some good teams in their league, but who did they beat outside their league? There's nothing really impressive So how does the committee look on that? A lot of people still have Nevada in, even though they just lost last night to San Jose State. Utah State has one quad one win. And their best win outside of their home building is against Washington State, who is probably an NIT team. So you tell me. I guarantee you they're going to get two. They might get three, and I'm not sure they I don't think they should get four, but I wouldn't completely rule it out. But that is going to factor in to Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, all the other teams on the bubble.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Alabama leads Mississippi State 57-38 with just under 8 minutes left to go in the second half. We're about an hour away from Tennessee and Missouri tipping off here at Bridgestone Arena. Coming up next, let's pick the games. Big game for Vanderbilt tonight against Kentucky. We'll make our official picks for tonight and for the rest of the tournament. I will reveal who I think is going to win for the SEC tournament. D-Mace and Willie as well. We'll get into all of that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 125-106.3 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 125-106.3 The Game. And hey, you can join us, 125 The Game, live from the Rusty Nail on Friday, March 17th for the opening round of the tournament. Enjoy $3 two-lane beer drafts while watching some hoops during a St. Patrick's Day celebration. The Rusty Nail is located in Hermitage and provides a great local atmosphere with a large outdoor patio and volleyball courts. They've got great drinks and great food, especially the wings. That is 125 The Game at the Rusty Nail at 4054 Andrew Jackson Way in Hermitage on Friday, March 17th. The doors open at 10 a.m. Alabama and Mississippi State will wrap up here in just about 7 minutes. Alabama leads 57-38. The Vols will tip off against Mizzou in just about 1 hour. We've got Arkansas A&M, Vandy, and Kentucky later tonight. So let's go ahead and pick those games.
All right, we're back at it for day two of making our picks. I want to start off here with Tennessee versus Mizzou. Tennessee is a 5-point favorite this afternoon. Who do we got?
Willie, you go ahead.
By the way, just real quick, guys, Florida Atlantic has hung on to beat Middle Tennessee in a wild, wild finish, 58-55.
All right, good news for the Doors.
Good news for all the bubble teams. Bad news, very disappointing for Mississippi, for Middle Tennessee, who made a tremendous comeback. They absolutely had a great chance. Had a free throw to tie it, missed it, got the ball back, had two good looks to take the lead. Florida Atlantic barely survives and advances. So good news for bubble teams, tough luck for the Blue Raiders. So the first one is Tennessee. I really think Tennessee is due for a surge, and I was encouraged by the way they played yesterday. And of course there's that revenge factor too of having squandered the game at home against Missouri. Missouri hit a miraculous shot to win at the buzzer. So I'm going to take Tennessee.
I'm going to take Tennessee too. I'm going to take Tennessee to cover. I made the mistake yesterday of picking Ole Miss to cover against Tennessee, and it was looking really good there up until the end when Tennessee pulled it out. So I think that Tennessee is going to beat Mizzou, and it's going to be at least by 5 points. Tennessee is one of those teams, they're like a slow kill, where it might be kind of close against teams that they're just better than in the first half, and then they just wear you down in the second half. That's exactly what we saw from Tennessee yesterday against Ole Miss. I think Missouri is a good team, but I think Tennessee is just that much better. Give me Tennessee minus -5 against Missouri. D-Mace?
I got UT. They played well yesterday, shot well from the outside, from the three-point line. I see that continuing. Guys knock down big shots when they needed to, so I think this is a team that has the potential to win the SEC championship. So I'm picking them.
All right, fair enough. I'm taking the Vols, too. I'll be heading up to Knoxville tomorrow before I go out of town. But let's move on to the next game. Arkansas versus Texas A&M. The Aggies are a crisp 1-point favorite. This could be a really close game. Who do y'all have?
I'll go ahead and pick first. I took Auburn to beat Arkansas yesterday, and obviously I was wrong there. But I think the Arkansas magic might stop tonight. I'm going to take A&M. A&M is just such a good team. And I'm honestly kind of surprised that the spread is only 1 point here. So I think that's might be my lock of the day, is A&M minus one against Arkansas. Arkansas, again, a very good team, but also kind of an inconsistent team. They can't shoot free throws. They've lost teams they shouldn't lose to. They've beaten teams they shouldn't beat. I can't pick the inconsistencies here. Give me A&M, who's consistently been good all season long.
Give me A&M. They are 4-1 in their last five. Huge victory versus Alabama to end the season. I'm going with A&M.
I'll go the other way. Arkansas, to me, is a really talented team. Texas A&M has had a great regular season. I don't think they have a whole lot at stake here in the tournament, so I think they're gettable. So I'm just taking a flyer on Arkansas here.
All right. Well, the final matchup of today, our main event, Vanderbilt versus Kentucky. The Wildcats are an 8.5-point favorite. I'm going to take the Doors, but who are y'all going to take? I want to see some miracle magic.
Oh, man, I'm looking at this game, and I so bad want Vandy to win. I really do, because I want the magic to continue for Stackhouse. Not only was he co-coach of the year, but he got this team to play in the last half of the season. They beat Kentucky once. I'm not sure they can do it again. I'm picking Kentucky.
Willie?
Well, you know me. I got to be a believer in the Doors. I'm picking with my heart, as you know. So I'm gonna believe in them. As we mentioned earlier in the show, it's a tough matchup, tough ask. It's going to be a heavily weighted Kentucky crowd. I hope the Vanderbilt fans fight to get into the building and hold their own with the atmosphere. And then the matchup with Tshiebwe. I mean, that's, you can't say enough about it. How do Quentin Melora Brown, Lee Dort, Malik Dia, and that group, or if they want to go small, how do they handle Oscar Tshiebwe? They did a pretty good job at Rupp, won at Rupp. So let's see what happens in round two.
You know what they say, Willie, pick with your heart and not your head. That is what they say.
Of course. Works every time, right?
When Vanderbilt beat LSU last night, I thought, okay, that's it. I'm a Vandy fan for the rest of the SEC tournament. I'll wear my black and gold for the rest of the weekend, but I do have to pick with my head and not with my Vandy fan heart, lifelong Vandy fan over here. I'm going to take Kentucky to beat Vanderbilt tonight. Kentucky has played their butts off for, you know, a majority of the second half of this season. I just think Kentucky is just really good, and Kentucky's going to be keeping that game at Rupp in mind. They're going to remember when Vandy came into their house and beat them, made them look like fools. They are going to keep that in mind. I think the revenge factor is such a huge factor in some of these games. I am going to take Kentucky to beat Vanderbilt tonight. But
Caroline, you took emotions out of it.
I did, and I did take my emotions out of the Derrick Henry trade.
Absolutely.
And they still shouldn't trade Derrick Henry.
I would love for Vandy to win, but I think Kentucky's going to win.
I think Kentucky's going to win. So we all have Tennessee beating Mizzou. That would mean Tennessee would take on the winner of the Mississippi State-Alabama game tomorrow. Alabama leads Mississippi State by 14 with 4 minutes left. I'm not counting out that there could be something crazy and miraculous come back from Mississippi State. I'm going to, you know, make a wild assumption that Alabama wins this game and takes on Tennessee today. Those are my picks. I think that Bama emerges from that game and goes to the semifinals. Tennessee-Alabama, which we think is probably more than likely going to happen. Who would you take to win that game?
I've seen this game before. Tennessee dominated. They dominated in the paint. They dominated with the loose balls. I think they do it again. It seems like Alabama's going to win, but I think UT just has Alabama number, and I think UT wins.
All right.
Ooh, that's an interesting spot there. Now, Alabama has had their lead go from, what, 22, 24 at its biggest down to 14? So
now 17.
Again, yeah, now 17, but these are four big minutes, right, for Mississippi State. As we mentioned, how you look when you lose and the ratings, every possession matters.
Now it's up 20.
Put the scrubs at.
Now
so
they're
that's
up 20.
Probably, yeah, that's good for other bubble teams. They want to see Alabama go ahead and run it out and ended up with a wide margin, so Mississippi State's ratings go down a little bit. It's crazy to say that. But I'll tell you what, I would love to see Tennessee and Alabama play again. You know what you got to deal with Alabama. They're going to shoot a ton of threes. They're going to miss some. But at the end of the day, how many are they going to make? They're going to spread the floor. They attack the basket. They have length for offensive rebounds. They make it tough to beat you. But Tennessee can guard them. That's the thing that I see with Tennessee. So the question will be, can Tennessee get the offense to play with Alabama? That's going to be the question.
I think Tennessee out-physicaled them the first time they played them. They got you all the loose really balls. Did. And they guarded the three-point line, and they made it difficult for Alabama to every three-pointer was contested in that game.
So you think Tennessee goes to the semifinals?
I think Tennessee, yep.
Who are you taking to win it all?
Oh, man. I think Tennessee comes back, and they, you know, back-to-back champions. I think they back-to-back SEC champions.
Willie D, who are you taking to win it all?
I'm going to take Bama. They're tough. They're tough to beat, and for better or worse, you know, they are able to stay focused through all of this stuff that has gone on with their program. As I get a little Amber Alert here in L.A., maybe it's because it's raining. I mean, it's been raining the entire time. So how does that ever happen? But anyway, I will go with Bama. I will take the favorite.
I think Bama's going to beat Tennessee tomorrow. I think A&M is going to beat Kentucky tomorrow. I think it's going to be an Alabama-Texas A&M final, which is going to be a great game. But I'm going to pick a totally off-the-wall, not going with the popular pick. I'm taking A&M to win it all on Sunday. But that is going to do it for us today. We'll be back Monday at 11 a.m. Stillman & Company is up next.
Peace.
Have a great day, guys. Enjoy the sunshine.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.